Welcome to Health Yeah, where experts from Stony Brook Medicine come together to discuss topics ranging from the complex inner workings of an infectious disease to tips and tricks for staying safe and healthy all year long.
Hi, welcome to our podcast, Health Yeah at Stony Brook Medicine. I'm Dr. Allison Eliscu from Stony Brook Children's, one of the adolescent medicine physicians here and co-chair of our Stony Brook Medicine LGBTQ committee. We're excited to be here today to talk about HIV and AIDS testing and diagnosis and help people learn a little bit more about these infections and how to manage and prevent them. I'm here today with some of my colleagues, Dr. Sarath Nath.
Hi, my name is Dr. Sarath Nath. I work in infectious disease on the adult side. I also run an STI clinic, which is open to every adult and adult over here at Stony Brook.
And Jennifer Jolie.
Hi, Jennifer Jolie. I'm a physician assistant at the ED Windsor Healthcare Center, which is part of Stony Brook Medicine, and we're located out in Hampton Bays.
Great. We're excited to be here today. We're going to start with just talking about HIV and AIDS in general. HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus, and that's an infection that can infect a virus that can infect the immune system and make someone susceptible to getting other infections. And that can at times progress to AIDS, which stands for acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. Sarath, can you tell me the difference a little bit between HIV and AIDS?
Sure. So as you said, HIV infection is a moving train. So like in the beginning, your virus infects our body. But as the virus keeps replicating, which means like keep reproducing, it eats away our immune cells. And once enough immune cells die, our immune system does not work anymore. And at that point, we call it AIDS. So AIDS is basically when HIV progresses throughout the time. But one thing to remember, AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. AIDS does not mean the end of the world. People who have AIDS can still have recovery of immune system with the amazing medications that we have.
Jennifer, can you tell us a little about the signs and symptoms of HIV and AIDS and how someone might know that they have an infection?
Sure. So when someone becomes infected with HIV, most people, but not everybody, will develop what we call acute seroconversion illness. And those symptoms show up usually about 2 to 4 weeks after being infected. These symptoms are very nonspecific. Fever, sore throat, swollen lymph nodes, rash. And they're usually self-limiting and will go away over a period of time. And then there is a period of time where someone may not have any symptoms. And eventually, as Sarath was saying, as the immune system becomes depleted and it progresses into AIDS, then there is usually chronic diarrhea, weight loss, night sweats, and also symptoms that are attributed to other illnesses that we call opportunist infections that can develop in someone whose immune system is very low.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is at the very beginning, that primary HIV can sound a lot like the flu or even mono.
Right. Exactly. So very nonspecific. And we've lived through COVID. We're still living through COVID. So COVID, flu, mono, a whole host of other infections. And again, not everybody has symptoms. So or may just have one or two. It may not recognize that it is an HIV illness.
Sarath, can you tell us how long someone can live with HIV before knowing they have it?
As Jennifer said, most of the symptoms can be so vague and people can live with HIV for many years before they can have progression to AIDS. And that's probably bringing up to the next point where you have to get tested because there is no other great way to know about them. So there have been people who have lived for many years without progressing to AIDS, but they still had HIV and they probably still were feeling weak and fatigued and probably passing it on to other people. That's why we have to get tested.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned how important it is to get tested. There are many different ways that you can get tested in different places. You can get tested, too, at your doctor's office, at the clinic, even at the pharmacy or mobile vans. And testing can be done either by blood test, even a finger prick test, or a mouth swab. Generally, the mouth swab and the finger prick test can be rapid tests done with results in 20 to 30 minutes even. So you don't even have to come back to that clinic or office necessarily to get the results. You can get it right at that same appointment. The blood work from the vein generally comes back within a few days. Jennifer, is there a home test that people can take?
There are. There are a number of home tests available for the consumer. Most of them are what we call second, most likely third generation HIV tests. And it's important to know what that means. So a second and third generation test tests for the presence of antibodies to HIV. And there's a lag time between when somebody becomes infected to when those antibodies show up. Every test, whether it be a home test or a test where, that a clinician does, has what we call a window period. So it's very important to be aware of what the window period is for that particular test. So if you have a home test, which is a third generation test, that may start picking up infection maybe as early as 25 days, maybe longer, depending on the type of antibody it's picking up. So if you had an exposure, what you think is a risky exposure, and you're concerned that you have HIV, say a week ago, that test, if it's negative today, you should still retest again once you're out of that window period. That's the biggest take-home message, I think. You have to be aware of these tests and their window periods.
Sarath, can you please go through the window periods for some of the other tests?
So the test that often done in doctor's offices is the fourth generation test. That looks like that looks at an antigen on the virus also. Because of that, the window period is very short. Like it can be as low as 10 days. But if you're really worried that you had a very recent exposure, we can add on an HIV viral load also, where we look at the virus in the blood, in which case you would detect it as soon as you're infected. So basically, when you go to a physician or an APP's office, discuss with them about the last exposure that you had, and that really helps with determining the kind of test that a patient has to get.
That's helpful to keep in mind. And one thing we should also keep in mind is if somebody gets a home test or a rapid test done, it's always confirmed by blood tests, which can take a few days to come back. Sarath, can you talk a little bit about how HIV is transmitted, how somebody can catch it?
First, I wanted to tell you how it cannot be spread. It cannot be spread through air. It cannot be spread through hugging. It cannot be spread through kissing, sharing utensils, clothes, none of, or being in the same swimming pool together. It's spread with close contact of fluids, so usually via sex, not oral sex, but vaginal and anal sex especially. It can be spread through needles also. That's why we have to focus on clean needle program exchanges and also not to reuse the same needle or share needles with anybody. So the other thing to remember, even though historically a lot of patients acquired HIV from blood transfusions, now blood is very well tested and you cannot get HIV from blood transfusions anymore.
Thank you. And Jennifer, what about if somebody is pregnant? Can they pass it on to their baby when they're pregnant or by breastfeeding?
Yes, they can in theory, but the risk nowadays is exceedingly low, less than 1%, I believe. And that is if the pregnant person is on HIV, first aware of their status, on HIV treatment consistently throughout the pregnancy and undetectable at the time of birth. Back before we had HIV treatment, the risk of a transmission from a pregnant person to the baby was about 25%. So we've made dramatic improvement in cutting those numbers down. And in terms of chest or breastfeeding, in the past, it was recommended not, especially here in the U.S. where we have access to clean water. In certain countries where the risk of contaminated water using formula was greater than transmission of HIV through breast milk, those guidelines were different. But there's really good studies nowadays to support a mother's choice to breastfeed. And that's a decision we call shared decision-making with them and the provider.
It's great to hear that there's been such advancements. There's so many benefits to being able to chest feed their baby and being able to pass that on. Yeah, that's great that we're able to make all those changes and improvements in that field. Sarath, can you talk a little bit about how quickly HIV can be transmitted or passed on after somebody has the infection?
So it can be spread fast within usually 3 days of the infection. So another thing we can do is something called post-exposure prophylaxis. So if you had an exposure within 3 days, we can be started on a medicine to prevent that HIV transmission from happening. So if an unwanted sexual exposure or blood exposure happens within 72 hours, there's a way to prevent HIV acquisition.
And really one of the highest times that someone can pass on, that one of the highest risks of passing on that infection is really during that acute time when you had mentioned the flu-like or viral-like symptoms. So it's very important that people get tested regularly and get tested as soon as they have any symptoms or exposure. to try to prevent passing that on.
And then if you do have HIV, staying on treatment, there's a term, treatment is prevention. If there's a discordant couple where one partner has HIV and one does not, if the person with HIV is on treatment undetectable, studies have shown they cannot transmit HIV to their partner through sexual practices, which is really great news to share with patients.
So that goes along with that phrase, U equals U, that I've heard, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Untransmittable, undetectable equals untransmittable.
Exactly.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about ways to try to prevent contracting HIV. One thing that we now have in our almost our toolbox to try to prevent HIV is HIV PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis. And that's a medication that people can take if they do not currently have HIV, but they may be at risk for contracting it. And that's a medication that can be taken either orally by pills or by injectable medication every 2 months. And if taken regularly and consistently, really can decrease the risk of contracting HIV, which is wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
Those medicines are really well tolerated, too.
Exactly. Great. Life-changing medicines.
Yeah.
Are there other ways that you guys can think of that you'd like to share of ways to try to prevent contracting HIV?
Using condoms is always an option, but it's very hard to adhere to condom use, especially there can be breaks, slippages, all those. So even if you do use condoms consistently, it may be a better idea to be on the pre-exposure medicines, as Allison, you talked about. Now, like there is a longer-acting injection ones, the one that's given every 2 months, or in the future there will be a medicine that's going to come out, which is going to be every 6 months. So these are going to really change the way we can prevent HIV from happening.
So I just want to make the point that a lot of people think they're not able to access PrEP services due to lack of insurance. New York State has a fantastic program that if you are underinsured or uninsured and are a resident in the state and can show proof of income, I believe that the level is $75,000 now, that you can access PrEP services, from your clinic as well as our clinic, and that pays for the visits, all the testing. Sorry. And then we partner with one of the companies that makes one of the oral PrEP medications, and the medication's gone free through that company. So lack of insurance should not be a barrier to PrEP services.
Exactly. Yeah. Great point, Jennifer. Like lack of insurance, documentation status, none of that should matter.
Exactly.
If you are at risk, you should be on PrEP.
Exactly, yeah.
Excellent. That's really helpful information. Thank you. Are there other ways we can try to prevent contracting HIV? You had mentioned clean needles and making sure that you're not sharing needles. Other things that we sometimes think about are trying to limit the number of partners or knowing the status of your partners. Talked a lot about getting yourself tested and knowing your own status, but knowing the status of partners and knowing if you're at risk can also give a lot of information. And talking to partners about things like getting tested and starting PrEP if they might be at risk as well.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Sarath, we talked about preventing HIV and testing. If someone does contract HIV, is it curable?
So for now, it's not curable. But one thing to remember is extremely manageable. So recently, people who live with HIV, who take their medicines, they live as long as somebody who does not have HIV. Unfortunately, the HIV virus hides in the body, so there's no way to get rid of it. But as long as people who live with HIV take their medicines regularly, it can be suppressed, which means that it will not be detectable in the blood, at which point you cannot transmit it to anybody. It will not progress to AIDS, and those people live as long as anybody who doesn't have HIV.
And the medication regimens have really come a long way since they were first come out in the 1980s and 90s. Now, patients may be taking just one or two pills every day or even just one injection every few months. So it's really gotten a little bit easier to take the medication and adhere to it.
Exactly. Like it's one small pill a day or one injection every 2 months. It has definitely gotten better. And these pills, thankfully, don't have much side effects either.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you to our experts, Dr. Sarath Gath and Jennifer Jolie. Just want to leave you with, please know your status. It's important to get yourself tested. Ask your partners to get tested. And talk to your doctors about HIV PrEP. It can really help prevent the risk of contracting HIV and can make a big difference.
Stony Brook Medicine is Long Island's premier academic medical center. We transform lives through scientific discovery, education, and care. And we bring together innovative research, advanced education, and extraordinary healthcare expertise to set the standard for how healthy communities thrive. For more information, visit stonybrookmedicine.edu or follow us on social media, Stony Brook Medicine on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and Stony Brook Med on X.